It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are in the midst of a five-part series talking with the individual Tuolumne County supervisors. We're pleased to be joined in studio by District 3 Supervisor Anaya Kirk on this weekend show. Supervisor Kirk, thank you for coming in.
Hey, BJ, thank you guys for having me. I always look forward to coming to these interviews and giving you guys updates.
So, District 3, anybody who's unfamiliar, where does it all cover?
So, it's probably one of the biggest districts. It starts up 108 up by Sonora Pass. Work your way down. You got Kennedy Meadows, Dardanelle Store area. You got Beardsley. Come down to Long Barn, Sierra Village, Miwok. Drops down by Tween Heart. And with the redistricting that we're discussing, we're actually going to pick up Brentwood Park into District 3, which is basically part of Tween Heart. Then it drops kind of down by Soulsbyville, Woodham Carn Road, and wraps around to Tuolumne City, Ponderosa Hill. So it kind of does a big fishhook, and I would say that's about the majority of the district.
So any issues specific to District 3 that you're keeping an eye on right now?
Right now, because it's December and we're having snowstorms, I'd say what's front and center for me is waste. One of them is waste management. Currently, our board is reviewing and going to be renegotiating a 10-year contract. So lots of folks that have been in my district are pretty displeased with some of the services over the last years, especially during the wintertime with waste management. So looking at that contract, making sure that we get trucks that are in there after storms, making sure they're picking up the trash and not leaving them for weeks on end. So that's definitely front and center. Other things in my district that have been there and will always be there are obviously fire, which we can get into later. But we got several, we got the Serral project going on in my district, which is about $118,000 project, which will take place hopefully this year. And that's basically from Tween Heart up to Strawberry area, just doing mitigating firework or forest work in those neck of the woods to keep our community safe. Other issues, obviously, in my district, and I think they touch all districts and especially all rural county, is insurance. You know, a lot of people have gotten used to these crazy insurance premiums and the unfair plan, which we call the fair plan. But it's really pricing out, and again, we might go into some of this stuff later with housing, but it's really pricing folks out of affordable housing, people with fixed incomes. So I'm going to continue to push the insurance issue. Other things that I'm always keeping an eye out for are water rights. I know it's a TUD issue, but it affects my district specifically. So keeping an eye out for water rights as we move forward with those conversations. Also, PG&E. They came out a little while ago and said they want to do about 10,000 miles worth of undergrounding utilities. And so specifically for my district, since it's in a very high fire area, one thing I'd like to see for Tuolumne County as these discussions move forward and as time plays out is I'd like to see around 300 miles of those power lines put underground. It's going to be a long process, but definitely keeping an eye on it and being vocal, having communications with those involved to make sure that we are part of the discussion on the table. I mean, we could probably go over lots of things, but that's kind of a gist of some of the issues in my district. So
I should ask you too, you're wrapping up your first term as District 3 Supervisor. I saw you recently announced you are seeking re-election.
Yes, I am seeking re-election. I tell people you spend a year of your life just running for office. Then you get in office, you spend quite a bit of time figuring out the ropes, making the connections, understanding the issues wholeheartedly and the depth of them. And I feel like just in the last couple of years, I've had a much better grasp on the issues and how to be effective, how those relationships work both at the local, state, federal level. So I feel like for our constituents, for my district, and for myself, I really owe it to do another term. Some of these things that we've started, I want to see continue to play out. I also want to hold the line on some issues. You know, the cannabis issue, I've always been against large grows, and I want to keep that out of our community, so I'm going to hold the line there. And we can talk more about that later if you like, because there's some interesting information coming up and down the state that I've been hearing recently about a lot of the counties that have allowed, cannabis cultivation in large sites. But anyway, so yes, I am going to run again, and it's the most work I've ever done in my life, but it's definitely the most rewarding to wake up and to know that you know, your ability to work and make connections and maybe make people's lives better, especially safer for our district. It's rewarding, but it's also not many people get the opportunity to sit in the seat and affect change. And so I take it as a great honor, and I take it very seriously. So we're going to do it one more time, and we'll see what life leads after that.
A lot of issues to get into. You mentioned the fire insurance, and I know we did a news story when you were reaching out to the insurance commissioner's office. Can you talk a little bit about those conversations and where that issue stands right now?
Sure. So there, as we all know, we had the insurance commissioner come out to our office or to our county several years ago. We had a town hall meeting, very passionate. We were hoping for some change, for some sort of, you know, relief. But really all that's happened from the insurance commissioner's office and for insurance in general, is we've just basically put moratoriums on insurance companies being able to cancel folks. So we just had the Washington fire. Well, we were included in that moratorium where if you basically are zip code and you touch where the Washington fire was, you won't be canceled for a year. Well, that's great. It gives temporary relief, but we all know it's going to happen a year from now. There's going to be a ton more cancellations. And so the last year, I realized there really hasn't been much play with this insurance issue. So I wrote Ricardo Lora's office, insurance commissioner's office, a letter with assessor recorder Ken and Whitman. I have constant communication with them. They know my name very well. They know that we're trying to come up with solutions. We did float a solution recently. They're having their legal team and some legislators look at it to see if it might be a possible solution. But really, BJ, what I'm trying to do is not sit on my butt and watch people lose their homes or have to move out. I'm trying to come up with solutions. I feel like a lot of these solutions should be coming from elsewhere, but they're not. So instead of complaining, just trying to be part of the solution, come up with some solutions. We are waiting to hear back. Like I said, we're in communications with his office. We're waiting to see if it might, the solution that we proposed might be able to play out. But I'm also not leaving it there. I'm talking with some other folks about another possible solution, which I'm going to pitch to McClintock's office and try and get some help at the national level. And I think if we continue to bring solutions and push the insurance commissioner's office to address this issue, there has to be some sort of there has to be some resolution with this. And I don't know if it means eventually they say that if you're an insurance carrier and you're not going to provide fire insurance and you can't do car, you can't do life, you can't do all these other insurances, then so be it. Or maybe we do what the floodplains do, you know, in the West, and we say everyone's premiums are going to go up $15 whether you live in a high fire zone or not to help cover these losses. But all I know and what I want people to know is that it's not out of sight, it's out of mind. I think it's probably one of the most important issues and will continue to be, and I'm going to keep fighting to help people with that area.
How are you feeling right now when it comes to fire resiliency in your area? You mentioned the Cyril project, but how are you kind of just feeling about the overall fire danger?
Overall fire danger, well, we have several fire breaks that have been put in place over the years through 108 Fire Safe Council, and like we said, the Cyril project's coming online. So I feel pretty confident. And the other thing too is we have Cal Fire, the air attack base right here at Columbia Airport. So my opinion is we've seen several fires break out over the last years. We've seen Cal Fire jump on them hard. We put them out, even though Washington, we had some loss. We hit the hard. So in my district, I do feel confident that if something takes off, we're going to hit it with everything we have. We can always do better. Our forests are, you know, not managed properly. They haven't been for years. I would say the thing that concerns me the most is most of my district is in U.S. Forest Service lands. And, you know, we saw with some, with the Darnell fire, you know, that fire was started. People have their theories as far as how it was started, but it sat for a couple of days before it blew up. And so what I'm concerned about is if a fire starts in my district, which is in U.S. Forest Service land, is I want to make sure that we hit it with everything we got immediately. Basically, if there's a fire, I think it should be out by 10 a.m. that morning. So you're going to hear me be a little bit more vocal about that issue. We saw, I believe it was a Tamarack or Caldor fire that happened up north of us, where, again, that thing lit on fire, it sat, and then it blew up. And so, you know, if I become the chair this year, you're going to hear me become more vocal about that. I'm going to go to Washington, D.C. for NACO. Our board's going to approve it here this coming week. For my district specifically, if there's a fire, I want to put out immediately. I don't want it to sit. The 108 corridor is one of the only corridors that hasn't burned down in Tuolumne County. So I think that's a testament to the fuel breaks, the awesome groups that we have, people mitigating their backyards, Cal Fire, the AirTac base. But I don't want to be naive and think that we can't lose something. So let's put the fires out as soon as they start during fire season.
Need to take a break. We're talking with Anaya Kirk, District 3 Supervisor, on this weekend's Mother Lode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Mother Lode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment coming up in just a minute.